This is the Progressive Radio Network. Information for the independent mind.
Was there an Adam? Was there an Eve? Or did we evolve from what we conceived? Either way, we got what we needed when the sun shone down on the Garden of Eden.
Don't you know we're gonna have a Solartopia, Solartopia, Solartopia. Don't you know we're gonna have a Solartopia all over God's green world?
Well, we bit that apple and the garden was lost, and so we had to work to pay the cost. And so we went digging into the ground, started to burn many things we found, but
yeah, we did. We started to burn many things we found. Too many things. Too many things. This is Harvey Wassman back for another hour, Solartopia Green Power and Wellness Show. We're opened, as always, by Pete Seeger with David Burns and the wonderful Dar Williams singing the Solartopia theme song, which is on the Tomorrow's Children CD, Grammy-winning Tomorrow's Children CD. We have a pretty devastating show for you today. The Pacifica Radio Network has been in existence for a long, long time, many decades. It's an institution on the left. It involves five stations, WBAI in New York City, KPFA in Berkeley, California, KPFK in Los Angeles, and stations as well in Houston and Washington, D.C. But lately, and it's been, of course, a pillar of the left for all these decades, but it's now in very, very serious trouble. My good friend Paul Kangas has put up a YouTube about whether or not Pacifica is going to go into bankruptcy. And Steve Brown, one of our guests today, along with Jan Goodman and Myla Reeson, Steve Brown has put out a notice, essentially, very explicitly, wondering if Pacifica is being deliberately driven into bankruptcy. Steve, are you with us?
I'm with you.
Steve, can you introduce us, introduce yourself, tell us who you are and what you do generally, and then let's talk about this. We also have Jan Goodman and Myla Reeson, who are on the board of KPFK in Los Angeles and who have been very active, putting a ton of time, effort, and money into the attempt to save Pacifica. And we may be joined by Gary Null, whose credentials I don't need to lay out on this radio network, but Gary has also been involved with trying to save Pacifica. So, Steve Brown, who are you, please, and tell us what you're thinking about Pacifica here.
Well, who I am, I've been a board member of WBAI for at least from the beginning of boards at BAI, which is at least 15 years. I've also been a member of the National Board, and technically still am a member of the National Board, because although there's been an election, the majority faction on the board, which I consider a rogue faction, has refused to seat any new board members from WBAI because they are antagonistic to them. And so we're in a limbo. We have four board members who have been not reelected because they're termed out, but who are still technically seated according to the bylaws, and four new members who have been elected, of whom three the board refuses to seat. Only one will they seat because it's a member of their faction. The Pacifica network is ridden by factionalism, and it always has been. But until a few years ago, that factionalism was driven by ideas, good or bad, personal opinions, personal likes or dislikes. Now it seems to be the result of a deliberate attempt to push the foundation into bankruptcy for the advantage of several different groups who have different purposes but are all moving towards the same end, and that is the apparent destruction of Pacifica.
Well, now that is, okay, now that is a real mouthful. I think most people on the left are familiar with Pacifica, certainly one station or the other in these five major cities. And why would someone, Steve Brown, member of the BAI board, want to drive Pacifica into bankruptcy?
I didn't get that. Why would someone, or why would
why would anyone want to deliberately drive Pacifica into bankruptcy?
You know, a lot of what I believe is not provable, and so I don't want to go on and accuse different people in different organizations of doing things that they can credibly deny, and they set themselves up to credibly deny. But just on the very lowest level, there's a group in California, mainly centered at KPFA, which is San Francisco Berkeley, and also in Los Angeles, which is KPFK, who see a benefit to their stations from selling WBAI. It's probably can bring the largest amount of money, maybe $100 million plus, and they want to take that money, as they've said, and divide it up amongst their own stations for, you know, so they can hire more people and do whatever it is they want to do. This is of course, a broadcasting Darwinism, as one of those people called it. They said, well, we need broadcasting Darwinism, and that's not what Pacifica is meant to be, nor should it be cannibalizing parts of itself to save the rest. So that's one level. Then there are outside influences who I have been told were interested in capturing Pacifica for their own organizations and their own purposes. Some say people high up in the Democratic Party a year or two ago wanted to take it over and use as a megaphone for Hillary's campaign. I think that may have fallen through, but who knows? And there are so many interests with so many different agendas swirling around. You don't have to be a conspiracy theorist to wonder which ones they are and what they're doing. Just to give you one example, a simple example, Pacifica gets about $1 million a year from the Commission for Public Broadcasting, but it has to submit an audit every year. It also has to submit an audit for the Attorney General of California. That's easy for a corporation. It's a very small corporation. It's $13 million. You get your accountant in. You get all the figures, submit an audit. But for 3 years now, Pacifica has not submitted an audit, and it's costed $2 million, approaching $3 million, that it can barely afford. That's a huge amount of money for a small organization. Why hasn't it submitted an audit? Well, this group that has control of the board deliberately hired a CFO at that time who was incompetent. As a matter of fact, he had been fired by the prior board for incompetency and for workplace violations of one kind or another. But the new faction, once they seized control, hired him back. He couldn't get an audit out, nor did they seem to be in any hurry to get an audit out. So we've lost millions of dollars. There have been lawsuits that have been mishandled by intelligent people whom I can only assume were behaving stupidly for other reasons, cost Pacifica millions and millions of dollars more. I mean, there's a whole series of events that have cost Pacifica money or programming. I mean, Gary Null himself at WBAI, their biggest fundraiser, he raised up to 50% of their money every year. They have preempted him. They have taken him off the air. They have prevented him from raising funds in their fund drives for the better part of a year. That's suicidal, because BAI is technically bankrupt, except they can't be bankrupt because they're a part of Pacifica, which is really almost bankrupt. It's a terrible situation.
You know, this is Jan Goodman.
Jan Goodman,
you're talking to
us from Santa Monica.
Yes, in Santa Monica. I'd like to just add a few...
Hello, Jan.
Hello. So I wanted to add a few things to what Steve Brown said. And as to why it could be that Pacifica might be being intentionally driven into bankruptcy. One of the things that nonprofit organizations have to do that are chartered in California, which Pacifica is that if a major part of their assets is being sold, and a radio station would probably qualify as such, then the entire membership has to vote on whether a station would be sold or not. However, if the corporation is in bankruptcy, then all bets are off. The bankruptcy court or trustee could have one of the stations sold off, and it would be a pretty easy task to do it if it's in bankruptcy. And
okay.
So this is one of the reasons that that has made me think that there's a reason that Pacifica might be being driven into bankruptcy, and these funds from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the CPB funds, are the lack of those funds is one of the major causes of Pacifica being in the horrible, horrible financial state that it is in right now. And not having these audits done is criminal. And not making that the highest priority that the corporation has.
You mean the Pacifica Corporation?
The Pacifica Corporation.
Okay. Marla Reason, you're also in Santa Monica. Do you want to jump in and add to this dialogue, and then we'll talk to Gary Null?
Sure. I'd like to say that I agree with everything that has been said so far by both Steve Brown and Jan Goodman. I think it's important to emphasize that one thing that is not in dispute is that Pacifica is being driven into bankruptcy or toward very close to bankruptcy. And the question about whether it's intentional or not is, I think it's intentional, again, it's kind of hard to prove exactly why or what, but the assets of this foundation are worth hundreds of millions of dollars. The signal for KPFK broadcast at 110,000 watts in Southern California, the reach is vast. And if we lose it, we're not going to be able to regain it. And there are people for various reasons. When we're going into one of our wars, our many wars, NPR turns into national propaganda radio, national Pentagon radio. The only real anti-war voices that can be heard in California are heard either on KPFK in Southern California or KPFA in Berkeley. And it just seems like one of the forces that is one of the many forces that has been attacking Pacifica for years has been the people who profit from war. But it's not the only force against Pacifica. It's one of many. And I'd like to say that we do have remedies. I believe that there's a way out. And we're right now, for the last about approximately 15 years, have been engaged in an exercise in democratic media. We prevailed in court, and now we can elect the listener members of the various Pacifica stations, can elect local station boards. And the information about this exercise in democracy and media democracy has not been well publicized, at least not on KPFK, and I don't think on the other stations. And I think that the remedy is for people who really cherish these stations and understand the importance of having true progressive anti-war voices on the air, need to be more involved. They need to support the stations. They need to get involved in the governance if we're going to succeed and prevent this this drive into bankruptcy from succeeding.
Where can people, we're going to get to Gary Null in a minute here, where do people contact those of you who are trying to save the station?
In Los Angeles, the best place to write is candidateslate.org. That's C-A-N-D-I-D-A-T-E. S is in Sam, L-A-T-E, dot O-R-G. And I might add that part of this exercise in democracy is that there is an election going on right now throughout the Pacifica network where people have the opportunity to elect members to the local station board of each of the five Pacifica stations. And we are all involved in this election, and I might say that our in Los Angeles, our candidates can be seen and their background and so forth at on that website, candidateslate.org. And in the other four station areas, Steve Brown can tell us where they can be seen there. And also, if people want to talk to somebody in person and get more information, a good number to call is Dr. King Riley, and they can, you know, I guess it's better to send something to Candidates Slate or to King Riley at roadrunner.com, or they can send something to me at jangoodman.kpfk@gmail.com. And if they want to talk or get more information, any of these people will be happy to give people more information. And I just want to add one more thing, and that is that in Los Angeles, a slate calling themselves a GCRC slate just sent out a mailer, and that is the slate that has been, they are from the faction that has been essentially driving the ship towards bankruptcy for the last couple of years. And we can talk about that later, but now I think Gary Null wanted to speak, and we can go back to the details about the factions and so forth later on.
Okay, Gary Null, you've been patiently waiting. Thank you, Jan Goodman, and Myla Reeson, and Steve Brown. Please stay on with us. Gary, we need to know if Pacifica is being driven into bankruptcy on purpose, who is going to benefit from this, and how do we stop it? So you've been running our network for a long time, and you've been a mainstay of VAI, at least in terms of fundraising. Tell us what's going on here.
Thank you, Harvey. I'd like to address in short order some of the comments that have been made up to this point. I would share a contrary point of view. I believe that we have been democratized to death. It was Abraham Lincoln who said, as I would not be a slave, so I would not be a master. This expresses my ideas of democracy. I would agree with that. And what I've seen is that we have no democracy. We have the pretense of democracy. One group calling itself Justice and Unity has its own agenda. I'm sure they believe in it. And they vote as a group. They think as a group. And they have a lot of power within the local station board, but not just their station board. I also found out they even had influence in PFW in Washington. The other group was will inaccurately but close enough say that it's the Steve Brown group. These are individuals who believe that the station should be run more professionally and more, let's say, with more diversity. And yet it's still a group. And it thinks as a group frequently. And what's missing in all this is that neither side ever is able to get something done, even when one dominates, even when the so-called more progressives dominate and have the executive director position and head of the national board and head of the local boards. It still failed, because what everyone's overlooking in this, and that's unfortunate, but it's typical Pacifica, is they forget that you're actually running a radio station. And for that, you should start by, what do people want to listen to? What kind of people? What is your message? And what level of quality of programming are you going to give? For that, you have to have people who are in positions to know that, such as professional program directors who have had experience in non-commercial radio and who've had experience in running a nonprofit foundation, where you have to know how to raise money in a way that's both ethical but also will be sustainable. And I have not, in my entire experience with Pacifica, which is 40 years, I'm the longest non-commercial daily radio program in American history, including on BAI or on Pacifica. I have not seen any of that. I've seen some people who have good intentions but were functionally incompetent. In fact, there is one classic example of someone who I know who was extraordinarily qualified, had experience, deep experience in running radio stations, programming them, and came with a very deep background. And they were not even considered because they weren't the right ideology. So BAI prides itself on who it dislikes and doesn't want listening. It goes out of its way to insult people, both directly, but also by making itself seem like we're not NPR. Well, before you mock NPR or ridicule and say we're the only people that you can listen to free speech radio, I've been on NPR. I was our highest rated show. Also, I've been on PBS. I just finished my 34th and 35th special last Sunday in Denver on Colorado Public Television. And I've been on national radio. I had the number one show on ABC Network and WABC, as well as WOR. So my experience is deep. Not once in my entire career on commercial radio or television was I ever censored, threatened, or in any way boycotted. I have been consistently threatened, censored, and boycotted. On KPFA, where I wanted to, as invited by Bonnie Faulkner, to discuss the subject of vaccine legislation, and I had new and important information that may have made a difference, that was banned. I invited these people to come on to debate me. They refused. When talking about the subject of AIDS, I've helped 1,300 people personally with AIDS, wrote a textbook on AIDS, Healing AIDS Naturally, the largest chapter, wrote 29 articles, did a press conference, and had the Tri-State Healing Center specializing for 10 years in helping people with AIDS, and yet go to someone at KPFA in in Berkeley, and you think I'm an AIDS denialist, because a small, motley group of people who are tied in with the ideologically with the AIDS community says, we don't want people critical of any part of the AIDS paradigm, and so they exclude that. You talk about we're the station of peace. Well, excuse me, didn't Democracy Now! Talking about the legitimization of invading of Libya and then later Syria? Yes, I have the programs. Also, when we talk about that we're for whom, who exactly are we for? Because my audience, which is health, has been denigrated, slandered, libeled by Ian Masters and others. The difference is, unlike the other people who make money or don't have any, I guess there's no other job left in California except raising money for Pacifica. But there's a point to where you don't raise money for people if you're not welcome and the people don't appreciate who you are. You'd have to be, in my personal opinion, a masochist. But I am guilty of raising money for a foundation that, A, didn't deserve it, and, B, misspent it, C, never took anyone's advice, because there have been some very bright people in the history of Pacifica who have offered insights, people who had professional backgrounds and knew how to do things right. I never saw any of that applied. I've seen nothing but cronyism. I saw us go from $3 million in the black, about to buy a station in Cleveland and another one in Detroit, to where we are virtually insolvent. And the same people who are responsible for one are still in power today. Can I prove that they are trying to intentionally bankrupt the network? No, I cannot. Did they do anything to help the network in its hour of need? No. And I'll give you one good example. When we were virtually incapable of paying our bills, and I was invited back on the station after being banned from the station without cause for 6 years, and when I came back, we were $1,600,000 in the hole. There was no way with how poorly they were doing. And I said, you're not getting a new audience in. Pacifica has the oldest audience in radio. Its average audience is about 69 years of age. Where are your new programs talking to new people on important issues that young people care about? It's non-existent. And I said, and people think that somehow they have a show, they're entitled to it. It's their show. It's not. You know, and I said, so bring in some new programming if you want to get a new audience. But the idea of displacing anyone who's connected at any level to anyone who exists in the power structure is an impossibility. I don't care how incompetent or bad your show is. And that's been the gist. So I said, let me see if I can help. So I went to my friend Peter Max, one of the most successful artists in American history. And I said, Peter, would you be willing to donate some original, not just lithographs or copies, but original paintings and sketches? And he said, I'll do more than that. I'll even invite some of my friends, and I won't mention the friends, but they're all household names. These are legends, 10 of them, to come on, and we'll spend 4 hours, and we'll try to raise money for BAI. This was given to Summerese, this was given to Arlene Engelhart, this was given to the program director, the station man. Everybody knew, not a single person ever made a call. So as time went on, they finally got to the date where it was, we either have to do it or not do it, and they didn't do it. They didn't care.
Well,
How much? Hold on 1 second. How much was the value of the work that could have been raised that day? $10 million. Peter Max donated $10 million, was willing to go on the air and donate this, get famous people. Now, was it incompetency? Was it indifference? Was it wanting to sabotage? I have no idea, and I will not guess. All I know is that is not the first time, nor the only time, when they could have made enough money to have gotten them out of harm's way for the entire foundation and chose not to take that. Now, are they in violation of the FTC 30-day rule, which is actually 28 days? The answer is yes. Are the violations where you take money and you don't give a person what they have paid for, and you don't inform them that they could get a refund, and you don't tell them when they're going to get it, and you don't send an FTC letter, are they aware of this? They're absolutely aware. Have they done anything about it? I'm not aware that they've done anything about it. So if you don't do anything about a violation and you continue to perpetuate the violation, now you're dealing in malice aforethought. So even that $100 or $200 million that may be gained by selling off a couple of the licenses, at least the commercial license, unless the non-commercial license are worth between $10 to $15 million of current market value, they could easily gobble that up by punitive damages plus all the unfulfilled premiums. Right now, the only way, after 9 months of being not allowed on the air to fundraise, I was allowed on is because they were so desperate, they were raising under $10,000 a month. And so then he said, can you do a, you know, this force and that force? And I went on to do that, but only if the money went to pay for old premiums, which it did, but not completely. So 800 people got premiums. So how often can you do that? How often can you, Harvey, or you, Steve, or you, any of you, take 2,100 hours total time to plan a retreat so you can get 11 people there because at the last moment, but enough money is made to at least help pay 800 premiums? You can only do that once. So what do you do the next time? You have no money. You have no audience. Your audience is gone. It's not coming back. It'd be really nice if we were all able to say, let's go sell some poetry in a subway, or let's have a common meeting and have a comedian politician do some imitations and raise some money. It's not going to happen, because the audience has lost trust, because they've been lied to so many times, and because there's no one they can communicate with and get any response. But sure enough, everybody says, we just have another election. So there we are. So the company, the foundation is bankrupt. I believe that the only option right now is to be honest about this and to put your energy into getting a couple of professionals who have had a background experience in radio, have a background experience in non-commercial radio, and then create your own internet radio station, taking the best of your programming or the programming that will work with you, and then take it further, because otherwise I don't see BAI existing a year from now.
Well, obviously then there needs to be new management and some kind of new direction at Pacifica. And Steve and Jan and Myla seem to be working on that. Steve, what is your solution here? How do we move Pacifica into a position to do some of the things that Gary talks about and to be a viable operation?
Well, it's easy. I can give it to you in three words. I don't know. There is no simple solution. I don't disagree with anything that Gary said. Embarrassingly, even when the group, and it's not the Steve Brown group, but even when the group that I was affiliated with was in charge, they could not get anything done, mainly because they didn't think as a group. So I don't hold much hope for a change of governance in Pacifica to get it back on track. I think that the moment for Pacifica has really passed, and I suggested jocularly before that the best thing Pacifica might do is sell all its licenses and donate the proceeds to progressive groups that are vigorous and still able to have some hope of moving society in a better direction. Nevertheless, I will continue to try to light a candle in the darkness and get rid of the faction that's been destroying Pacifica, and hope that it can be done before it's too late.
Jan Goodman?
Well, I have, I guess, more optimism. And maybe it grows out of my dedication and my knowledge that if any of the stations, if and when any of the stations goes down, that they will never be replaced. And so despite the horrible nature of the national board meetings often, I am struggling along because I know that the prize is something that can't be replicated. And it's so important to have a media presence in this country. And not only does Pacifica have five stations, but there are 150 other stations which are affiliates of Pacifica, which rely on the programs that Pacifica puts out to fill up their stations with good programming. And so rather than just saying, oh, we don't have anything, before if I were in charge, and so I'm hoping that with this election there could be a big change. And I will say that the financial situation has actually moved some people off of their total dedication to following the leader off the cliff. Some people are changing how they're voting because they realize that if they keep voting the same way, we're going to totally go down the tubes. But before we were to sell a station or lease a station, because they're the leasing of WBAI and WPFW is actively being discussed right now. Before I would sell one of those stations, I would pull out the stops. I would play the programs that have high listenership, that the programs that do bring in money, and bring those from all over the network. And if those stations had to be, you know, entirely use programs from elsewhere and archived programs and so forth in order to gain its audience back, We need to try that before we just roll up our tents and go away. So I am working very hard to try to make that happen, to try to bring in new audiences. And, for instance, one of the ideas that I have that could bring in large audiences is having something which, for lack of a better term right now, I would call the Bernie Hour, to have not only Bernie Sanders have time to be on the radio, but all of the groups and offshoots and people who are concerned about the issues that he brought to this country front and center, to have a time to talk about those things and to lead the struggle in those areas. And because Bernie had such a wide network of people tuned into him, that could bring literally millions of listeners to Pacifica, to not only be listeners, but to also be supporters. And other programs, you know, bringing the Young Turks on and having a program for them. People that have a listening audience that they could bring in, who are whose mission coincides with Pacifica's mission. So I am still hoping beyond hope and working very hard to try to bring some of these changes and to try to help people put in new leadership into Pacifica. So I'm not quite as depressed as some of our other listeners. I still hold a candle, and I'm still working hard. And the reality is, so is Gary Null, and so is Steve Brown. So is Myla Reason.
So my perception, and correct me if I'm wrong here, is we have this, there is an asset here. It's the Pacifica Network. We have five stations in five cities with huge potential listenership in a very desperate situation now, based not on the public turning against the principles or the ideals of Pacifica, historically, quite the opposite. As you say, the Bernie campaign drew millions of enthusiastic people out. There seems to be a management problem, which Gary has underscored. Can the Pacifica problem be solved with good management, with people who know what they're doing and are simultaneously dedicated to the principles? And if so, how do we do that? Myla, do you want to comment on that from Southern California? Myla Reason?
I absolutely agree that we have a great need for some really good professional radio nonprofit management that is definitely lacking. Certainly it's lacking at KPFK. I'm most familiar with KPFK in Los Angeles. But I'd like to agree with Jen. You know, I'm certainly not willing to throw in the towel for the very reason that Jan stated, and that is that if we lose any of these assets, if we lose any of these very valuable radio licenses, we're not going to get them back. I mean, the chances are slim to none that we would get them back. And I'd also like to add that another extraordinary asset that the Pacifica Foundation has is the Pacifica National Archives, which holds some of the most amazing historical recordings from many, many decades. It's just it's an amazing catalog that has really been underutilized. So we have tremendous assets that we have to work to protect. And in terms of this experiment in media democracy, you know, I just hate to look at the alternative when we won chance to democratize, have the listeners and the workers both control decisions that are made. We won against people who, the network had basically been taken over by a self-perpetuating, self-appointed board that was controlled at that point in time by corporatists from the Democratic Party. And you know, from the kind of elements that just gamed this last election process for the Democratic nominee, similar kinds of forces. And I think that it's not functioning well, and that is because it's really been taken over by a lot of people for whatever reasons that they have. And I think that the remedy for that is more sincere listeners paying attention and getting involved in governance. If we had enough true listeners, people who really cherish the stations, get involved instead of the cronies that have sort of taken over and taken the lead, I think that we can turn this around. It really does definitely need to be turned around. There's no question about that. And we have a great opportunity right now. And the other thing that we have to do is we have to get people, in spite of the fact that they're sick of the fund drive, and in spite of the fact that, you know, they're unhappy about this or that they're hearing on the air, it's really important for people to support this listener-sponsored, non-corporate radio network.
Well, if I can make one observation which hasn't been brought up, Pacifica, in all of its history, has never had more than 18 or 20,000 BAI has never had more than 18 or 20,000 members. Pacifica has never had a gigantic listenership because it's never promoted itself. It's never advertised. It's never made itself known to the potential audience. It still won't. And that's been a bone of contention between me and Pacifica management for a very long time. For example, BAI has 19 million people in its audience pool of potential listeners. None of them know that BAI even exists, and they never will. And unless people understand that there are good programs available on Pacifica, they will not tune in. And so if every program tomorrow was the best program in the world, you wouldn't get one more listener because they wouldn't know about it. And that's one of the big problems. The Pacifica people only want to talk to people who are like them. They believe that they want to talk to only this tiny sliver of correctly thinking people on the left, whereas they should really be talking to the people who are not on the left, the huge people, group of people in the middle, millions and millions of people, to show them what's there, and they won't. And they can't unless they promote themselves widely, and they never will. It's a mindset in Pacifica that I have not been able to change, even if my background is promotion.
I'd like to add something here that might be able to connect some of the dots. Twice I heard the word hope. It was George Herbert who said, hope is the poor man's bread. And what we have at Pacifica is we have to have a reality check. The height of Pacifica's power, when we were most relevant, when we were doing the most important cutting-edge work, was between 1965 and 1975. That 10-year period, we didn't even have to offer premiums because we didn't need to. The audience had only one place to go to get its information on the anti-war movement, the feminist movement, the back-to-earth movement, and it was BAI. We had some outstanding programs, some not so outstanding, but we tolerated those who were of a difference. As a result, we succeeded. Then people lost interest. And it wasn't because of bad programming. It was because people's interest changed and BAI did not. When I came on to BAI, I came on and they couldn't even pay their salary the week I came on. And that's how far down the rabbit hole they had gone. The program director said there's just been infighting nonstop. And nobody wants to look at the fact that the world has changed. It's no longer 1965 or 68. We have to go forward. And for 40 years, what I've seen is people who have at different times in programming or management who have had an idea that was good but could not get the type of support behind them to cause that to be sustained. So it's not as if we have been bereft of good talent. We've had good talent. We have some good talent now in different time spots. But as Steve said, we don't spend a penny on publicity. We never had to. Now it's too late. And why is it too late now? Because now there are over 100,000 places you can get your information on the internet where you don't need to even go to a newspaper, and the younger generation doesn't even read newspapers, watch the evening news, because they don't have to. Secondly, you also have people got tired of being a part of that mix and went out and went into other venues. So we no longer have as if the whole world's going to stop tomorrow. We're going to do everything right. We're going to get professional program directors, good managers. We're going to get a board that actually works together as other boards do and care about something other than their own power base. But it would still be too late. And that's because you're cutting into a market that has no longer an interest, even if you ran full-page ads, and they would have to spend all $100 million that they would make from a station in order to get some interest, because you got to take someone from someplace to bring them to what you're doing. And BAI has been in the business of alienating people for so long, people don't forget when you have been abusive in your programming, your message, and especially in New York. So that's why I suggest that, yes, I'm still there, even though they cut a day of my programming away without comment and want to cut another day. I'm still there for one reason only, because my audience, a certain segment of my audience, is an older audience that's not internet savvy and wants to get up each day, tune on at noon, and hear my program. That's what they care about. But that's also got an expiration date. You got to be realistic. You can't just be hopeful. In fighting in any social issue to be sustainable, you have to look at the long-term picture. I see the future of the Pacifica at what it could be in a new generation with new messages. I see that taking, Steve had a great idea. You take all the money from Pacifica and you put it into different groups, but then again, you got the politics of who's going to give the money to which group and are there political alignment. Now you're in one of those dangerous situations where you could be like the Clinton Foundation getting everyone's money because they got the best friendship lines out there. Instead, I think that if you had a group of people from any of the stations, right now I'm talking mainly about BAI because it's the most vulnerable, and BAI does not commit suicide, it does not create bankruptcy, it can't legally. The foundation must create bankruptcy. Now it legally it can because all five stations are insolvent and incapable of paying the bills, no matter what plan they put into effect. A, they don't have the plan. B, they don't have the people. And C, they don't have the audience. The audience is gone. So if you create an internet, and I'm not referring to Progressive Radio Network, we're a unique, unique form out there. But if you were to get the best programs that are and the newest programs that are important, then you bypass needing all that money. You also have far more capacity to do advertising with younger people on the internet and sharing their message in social media than you do in any newspaper in the United States. In fact, just this coming Sunday night, I'm doing a 7-hour special on Progressive Internet from 6 to 1 o'clock in the morning, 6 at night, and already we are filled up completely in people wanting to get on there, and now we're having to expand it. Could you imagine if you had younger shows, younger themes, still socially relevant, social important, anti-war, peace, but you had more of the Jill Steins on instead of the Bernie Sanders? Remember Bernie and supporting Saudi Arabia and our military position overseas. But you get real pacifists on there, and you get people of great thinking minds who have not gone on Pacific. They won't go on Pacific. I can tell you at least 100 people that will never appear on Pacific again because how they were treated or they're so opposed to what they feel is the highly radicalized form of a message that Pacifica gives. You could get those people on. You could get an enormous audience, and your audience would no longer be a borough in a community. It would be the world. And I think that optimistic and positive, take your message from a station that is dying and is going to die. You may not like it. You may be against it. You may say, let's throw a Hail Mary. But at the end, I think it's far more pragmatic to plan for the demise of a station by those who seek it, and then create something better in its place that will live on without their politics, without their skullduggery, without their negative emotions, without the fight, without the internecine conflicts, without the egos, without having to have a faux democracy in these committees. Instead, you run a station based upon the best information from the best people. And you know, right now you got over 10,000 ex-broadcasters out there who don't fit into the commercial paradigm anymore. You have an unlimited amount of quality people you could bring in. So I'm very optimistic about what could be. I'm just not optimistic on what is.
Okay, so what we have essentially is we do have a group of people who do think. Well, let me not characterize that. I mean, I've watched Jan and Myla and Steve struggle with the idea of trying to save the asset, of trying to, of the five Pacific stations, of trying to put people on the boards that will do the professional thing that needs to be done. Jan, can you talk about this?
Yes. So the reality is that Pacifica is not gone yet, and hopefully we can save it. And I have to say that Gary Null is a perfect example of why what he said about the radio is over, nobody's listening anymore. Gary Null has gone onto WBAI with no notice to anybody and started pitching and raised thousands and thousands of dollars for people who just were wandering by, on the FM dial. So when people hear high-quality, interesting, well-produced programs, they stop and they listen. So it can, even with no notice and no preconceptions, people can and will listen to the radio. So we need to really do a program, change our programming, and there is hope. One of, what I am working on, what many people are working on, is trying to get new people with professional backgrounds, organizational experience, to be on the local station boards, to elect new national leadership. And in Los Angeles, we have an incredible group of people who are running. In Texas, in New York, in Washington, D.C., in Berkeley, there are also additional people running. And I beg your listeners to seek these people out. And as I say, in Los Angeles, their names can be found on candidateslate.org. We are the Committee to Strengthen KPFK. And with new leadership, I mean, it is, it is 11:55. I admit it. It is horrible. It is depressing. But things can be turned around and must be turned around. And if people want to join in the struggle to save Pacifica, they can also go to that candidateslate.org and make a donation, because we're trying to help all of the stations around the country advertise and let people know that there are sane people who can work together. In Los Angeles, we have a 75% majority on the board, and our board meetings are really, decent, regular kinds of board meetings now, but we need to change the whole culture of Pacifica in order to move it forward.
Well,
so I'm throwing the Hail Mary.
Okay. We're with it's the Hail Jan and Myla here. Steve, what do you think?
Well, I have one suggestion. There is a website that was formed to tell people what's going on in Pacifica, and there are two lawsuits currently against Pacifica trying to change this. The elections are one way and the courts are another. And
okay.
A description of what's been happening in Pacifica they can find at cleanuppacifica.org. Cleanuppacifica.org. And they can get a good capsule idea of what's going on. There are a lot of links there. They can also donate if they'd like to help the two lawsuits. I have to make a disclosure. I'm a plaintiff in New York in one of those lawsuits.
And these lawsuits are by members of Pacifica telling Pacifica to follow the law and their bylaws. They're not
correct.
Trying to
get
money.
And Jan knows, she is handling one of the lawsuits in California.
Myla, real quick.
And then
Pacifica
another,
Exile.
Yes, but that's what I was going to say, Jan. I just wanted also to direct listeners to Pacifica in Exile, and I believe that's .org or .com. I'm not sure, but Pacifica in Exile is also a good source for information about what's going on.
Okay, and Gary, is there any way these folks can recruit you to help actually save this sinking ship and maybe turn it into an internet and radio presence?
I am always there to support any progressive person who wants to go forward. I will continue to the last day I'm on BAI to continue to raise money and do broadcasting, and that's what I'm going to do. What I'd like to see, all five stations replace with new management, program director and station manager. I'd like to see the board replaced. I'd like to see the legal representation of Dan Siegel replaced, and I would like to see people who have background in raising funds professionally brought in to bring a quality and an integrity to the pitching process that is lacking at this moment.
Okay. I think actually with that summary, it sounds like there's a page that people could all be on, and I'm going to urge you all to get together, and I'm going to have you back for another show because this is absolutely essential as far as I'm concerned. This is an irreplaceable asset that we have to move ahead with. That's my opinion, and Gary, I'm glad to hear that from you. So we will have another show on this. Thank you so much. Crew in New York, thank you, Gary, Myla, Jan, and Steve, and we'll be back again with another Solartopia Green Power and Wellness Show. One of them will be on Pacifica. Take care, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Eve, or did we evolve from what we conceived? Either way, we got what we need.